Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, and I'm Puma.
And on this podcast, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between. Guys, I am so excited. We are starting a brand new series today. Honestly, this is a series that I need. This is a series that I've really found encouraging, and I hope you guys do too. So it's the Integrity series.
Ooh. Integrity.
Integrity. So Puma, how would you define the integrity? I mean, as a word.
How would I define integrity?
Yeah.
Well, if you ask a lot of people, you know, what is integrity? Probably a lot of different definitions, especially today, because honestly, no one really is concerned about what things actually mean. Mm-hmm. What things actually mean. So what does integrity mean to you?
Yeah.
Integrity, you know, as a word. So if I'm on the Titanic, right? I'm on the Titanic. We're floating in the ocean. I want to know if the ship has integrity. Right?
Yeah.
So it has, you know, really fine dining, you know, it has great music, you know, lots of entertaining. Does it have integrity? You know, it's staying up in the water. It's, you know, going at a good speed. Does it have integrity? I mean, integrity has this idea that everything is put together, everything is complete, or everything is whole. Mm-hmm. But obviously the Titanic, we all know, did not have integrity. It actually had a weakness, its underside. And so when it hit the iceberg, it put a hole in it. And and just one area of weakness ended up sinking the whole ship. Yeah. See, integrity has this idea of whole or complete. Mm-hmm. It's kind of well-rounded. How many people have this idea that, well, yeah, I'm a great person. I just have this one area and it's not a big deal because it doesn't really impact the rest of my life.
Right.
But the idea of integrity, you have a diamond, right? A diamond in all its facets, the beauty is in the complete or the whole. Mm-hmm. If there's a scratch in one side, well, it's there's a flaw. We call it a flawed.
Right. That's right? True. Yeah.
And so integrity has this idea of wholeness or complete. When the Bible speaks of integrity, it's wholeness or complete in the sense of we're completely moral, completely righteous, letting that guide us.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really good point. I mean, the definition, right? I mean, I guess stepping aside from the definition for a moment, everybody wants something or someone of integrity. I mean, that bridge that collapsed, right?
Right.
We had that tanker, one single, you know, flawed collision took a whole bridge down.
Whole bridge down, yeah.
You know? And we want to drive bridges that are fully full of integrity, not partially.
Right. You trust a bridge because you believe it has integrity. It's not going to collapse underneath you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have had 3 shoulder surgeries. And I remember that my first surgery a few years ago, I went and talked to the nurse like, yeah, I need shoulder surgery. Which doctor is the best for shoulder surgeries so I can have my insurance, you know, contact them? And the nurse lady said, well, this one doctor, we'll call him, I don't know, Jimmy. Dr. Jimmy, you know, he is the best. He's a specialist at shoulders. I'm like, okay, great. Well, let's have him. Well, first surgery he did, it didn't go well. In fact, it was so poorly, the next day they have us do physical therapy, and I lean forward and my arm literally detaches, blood spurts, staples come out. Like, oh no, your arm is not attached to him anymore. We need to call, you know, Dr. Jimmy. And I remember, well, not only was it painful, but they just did surgery. They had to do open surgery on my shoulder again. And I talked to the nurse, you know, later. I'm like, hey, I thought you said he was a shoulder specialist. And she goes, well, actually, I lied. He's actually a hip specialist, but I didn't want to worry you.
But so, your shoulder looked like a hip, so it was okay.
Well, I mean, the lack of interest, she lied to me to make me feel better, which has, I live with the consequences of that right now. So right. My shoulder, if, you know, I'm permanently impaired for life. You know, I can still do normal life, but I just think about one breach of integrity has lasting consequences. We don't want to drive a bridge that lacks integrity. We don't want a doctor who lacks integrity.
Right. We don't want a banker who lacks integrity.
Exactly.
We don't want a spouse who lacks integrity.
Right. Yeah. And this is a long intro to make a point. Integrity really matters.
Yes.
And not just for, you know, physical things, your body, but relationships. I mean, if I were to say, hey, you know, tried to encourage a guy, this girl's really good. She only cheats on people 2% of the time, but 98% of the time, she's faithful. Well, would you want to date someone like that? No. Integrity really matters. Integrity is the completeness, the full, it does not lack anything that makes it functional or good.
Right. It's complete. It's whole. It's doing what it's supposed to do the way it's supposed to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're about to go into the main portion of this section, but I want to start with just some questions, right? Does integrity really matter? And if so, would you encourage or endorse something that you knew lacked integrity? I don't think so. And we'll get to the definition in just a moment. But yeah, think about that. Are you a person of integrity, right? We can point lack of integrity in the government, in our neighbors, maybe even our kids. But in ourselves, do we see the areas of our life where we lack integrity? And even more personally, as a Christian, I mean, integrity really matters. Okay, the world, you can, you know, truth is relative, sure, whatever. You can make up your, in my opinion, lies. But as a Christian, there's no excuse to not pursue integrity. So let's dive into this concept of integrity. Okay, Puma. So back to the original question, how would you define integrity for you? If you had to summarize, what does integrity mean? How would you define it?
Bible, you know, speaks to this. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their foolishness or their duplicity or their like evil intent. And that word integrity there, you know, a couple other places like in the Bible, for instance, like Job 1:1. Right. So God says, you know, Job was an upright man. He was blameless. It's the same word for integrity, to be blameless, which means there's no flaw or no crack in his morality.
Yeah.
You know, so when God looked at Job, he said he's a blameless man. Now, does that mean that Job wasn't a sinner?
No.
No. It meant that Job, his desire was to live a blameless life, and his actions and attitudes all surrounded that and fortified that. So he was a blameless or an upright or a man of integrity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like that you bring up Job, and we will go through some people this series, but you know, I like that it's not a perfect person, but it's a person who pursues to honor God no matter what trials it goes through. Job went through some crazy trials, and yet he was, you know, quote, at least in the beginning, blameless, right? Not that he was perfect, but he actually strove and sought to do the right thing, even if it was costly.
Yeah, and we're talking a character trait. So
yeah.
So Job and everybody, I mean, you know, no one is sinless, but is sin your normal practice? Is it your habit? Is it your way of life? And this is where, like the Proverbs, you know, says the integrity of the upright guides them. In other words, is my life guided or shepherded or directed by a blamelessness or uprightness or moral? Is that the, in a sense, the compass that is directing my life?
The posture of your life.
The posture of your life.
Yeah. For this series, we're going to kind of define integrity, not necessarily, you know, through Webster's dictionary, although it kind of applies to that. But I would say
more like a practical working definition.
Yes. And this is in terms of a Christian. Here it is, right? Integrity is doing the God-honoring thing regardless of the cost. It is doing the thing that pleases God, no matter if it costs us, no matter if it hurts us, no matter if it's uncomfortable. We see God's kingdom over our comfort. That's integrity. And it's the pursuit of integrity, not perfection. It's the pursuit of honoring God.
The direction of doing what is right, doing what God desires.
Right. Yeah. And so, we're going to go through this series using that definition. Integrity, right, is doing the God-honoring thing. On the flip side, there are people in the Bible that we're going to go through that maybe weren't someone of integrity. You know, that's not integrity. That is not integrity. Well, and that begs a question. So Puma, if I were to ask you, are you a person of integrity? Putting out there.
Oh, you're asking me?
How do you know? I mean, if I was to say, hey, are your kids, right? Am I a person of integrity? How would you know? I mean, I woke up one day and today, guys, I'm going to be somebody of integrity. I mean, how would you see that displayed? What makes someone a person of integrity?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you ask, you know, how do I know if I am a person of integrity? Because honestly, I give myself higher marks than probably is reality.
Yeah, right.
I mean, isn't that the way we do? As people, we're much more accurate in giving honest assessment of other people, but we're horrible at being honest and assessing ourselves. We always give ourselves higher marks than we are. So if you ask, you know, I mean, 99% of all people think they're better than everyone else they know, right? Yeah, I mean, right. That's, right? Yeah. Everyone thinks they're better than most people that they know,
yeah.
which can't be true. You know, if we're talking about numbers and percentages, but mm-hmm. you know, how do I know if I am a person of integrity? That implies then that somehow I have a standard of which I'm measuring or comparing my life to.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why our definition of integrity is, you know, doing what God honoring thing, regardless of the cost.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even, you know, it's not about the consequences either, you know, the cost and the consequences. Mm-hmm. It's doing what God desires us to do. And so if I'm going to be a man of integrity, it kind of begs the question, do I really know the heart of God and what he wants?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because a lot of people say, yeah, I'm a person of integrity. Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I be?
Right.
If you ask them, well, what does God want you to do today? Well, I don't know. Why does that matter?
Yeah.
why does that matter? Mm-hmm. What God wants me to do? And that's where I think a lot of people are. We think that we are doing the right thing because the standard of right is me.
Right. Yes, true. Yeah. Well, integrity, it almost even begs the question of a moral God, because if I set the pace for what integrity is or is not, well, then I set morality. But yeah, isn't it interesting though? Like, we assume integrity for everybody else, don't we?
Right.
Like, and I love
because it's going to impact my life.
Right, right. Well, I mean, even criminals don't expect criminals to steal from them, right? A thief is offended when you steal from him, right? And it's, we assume and desire integrity from everyone else. And that, I think, speaks to an almighty God who has a morality, a standard of mm-hmm. right and wrong, which maybe is a whole other podcast. But to even assume integrity in somebody else assumes that there is a law or a rightness
right.
that God put in place.
Right. And that idea of integrity there from, you know, Proverbs 11:3 is the idea of moral right, moral. It's a moral righteousness. And so, mm-hmm. you know, when it says that the integrity of the upright guides them, the idea of integrity there, that there's a blamelessness, there's a moral rightness. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we can't know what's morally right if we don't have a standard of which to compare what is moral and what is right.
Yeah.
So the standard of morality is not you, it's not me, it's not our culture, it's not our government, you know, it's not even our family. It goes back to the heart of God, you know, the character of God.
Right. Well, even going through Proverbs 11:3, right, that word integrity, I mean, they're literally good, straight, secure, righteous. I mean, the integrity, the secure, the straightness, like the right path, this is the correct path, the straightness, does that guide us? I mean, are we guided by righteousness? You know, and it's interesting because to ask, are you a person of integrity? Well, the question is, it depends on what you do. I mean, I found it fascinating as I was studying this integrity. You don't know someone's a person of integrity until they're tested. You know, everybody wants to be a person of integrity. Well, let me ask that question to the audience. Have you ever lied to someone to convince them you weren't a liar? I have. Isn't that ironic? I've lied to someone so they would think I'm an honest person.
Right.
I mean, the lack of integrity, even in my own heart. But yet we do that, don't we? We all want to be someone of integrity, even if that means not being someone of integrity. And this is a question I ask my teens. I ask myself all the time. Okay, would I rather look good than actually be good? Would I rather look good than actually be good?
Well, in our world today, the answer is absolutely yes. Because our world is all about imaging yourself.
Yes.
You know, how the image that you create so that others show favor to you or to like you is what is important, not the actual character or the integrity of the person. It's like the Titanic, you know, it looks really good when it's docked, you know, you know, where people are looking at it from shore. It looks really, really good. And, you know, it's written about in the papers and, you know, it's the unsinkable ship and everything else.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it has integrity. And so what happens is people, when the reality hits, everyone screams, oh, this is so wrong and bad. Mm-hmm. But it's because we had a flawed view of integrity to begin with. It's not about what it looks like. It's what it actually is.
Right. And that's where the God honoring part is so important, because you can look very good. The Pharisees looked very good, but were they honoring God? No. And integrity goes beyond just our appearance. It goes to our heart. And that goes to what we believe to be true about God and his character.
Yeah. And the verse of Proverbs is basically what is God, you know, the integrity of the upright will guide them. In other words, we're always guided by a principle, or mm-hmm. guided by beliefs or guided by ideas to, you know, or we do what we do, we're motivated, but we're motivated by what is guiding us or what is leading us. Mm-hmm. This is why, you know, the wisdom there in Proverbs, you know, Solomon writes these words. It's, you know, what guides my life? Is my life directed by truth and righteousness?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the cost, regardless of what happens,
regardless
of what people might think it looks like,
mm-hmm.
regardless of people's opinions, is it guided by what God wants, what God thinks, how God desires for us? And, you know, it's the opposite there, you know, duplicity or the crookedness or the corruption, you know, is my life guided by what is convenient or what is going to, you know, get what I want of my for my sinful heart.
Yeah.
And so this gets into all kinds of things, excuses,
yeah.
you know, the using falsehood to promote truth.
You're right, yeah. Honesty, dishonesty is a big part of this.
Yeah. I mean, it really touches every area of life.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think it's so important for us to start with this baseline of integrity. Because honestly, everybody wants to obey God. I think a lot of people desire good things.
We all want the benefits of good things.
Right.
I mean, no one woke up today saying, I hope today is the worst day of my life. I hope everyone cheats on me. I hope everyone lies to me.
Right.
I hope I am seen as the most ridiculous, crooked person on the planet. Nobody says that. We all want the benefits without the beliefs, without the reality in our hearts.
Yeah.
Because everything is costly, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, to live a life of integrity costs. That's why, you know, if you say doing the God or anything, regardless of the cost, it's because everything we do has a cost to it.
Yes.
Everything we do matters and requires work, effort, time, maybe money, maybe relationships. There's always a cost to what we do. And are we willing to pay the cost to do what is right?
Yeah.
Or are we going to not pay the cost because we are, you know.
Yeah, we have other desires. It's not worth it. I'm going to read that verse again in the New King James Version. Proverbs 11:3, it says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." And, you know, the word, you know, unfaithful, right? You know, but the perversity of the unfaithful, I mean, to cover up, to be not honest, right? I mean, literally to deceive is kind of the idea there. It will destroy us. And this is them, right? So it's not only just you. Our actions always have a cost and it has a price. The price could either be good or bad based on what guides us. And I think it's important for us to understand, yes, integrity is very personal, but it affects everyone in our life. It is a personal choice that has real collateral. And for the Jesus follower, you know, for those who believe and put their faith in the Son of God, we have to pursue integrity. We have to pursue the God-honoring thing because we have been bought at a price, right? And then the next episode, we might even hit on that too, the author of integrity. But just even for us, this verse, we are all guided by something. And there are consequences to every single thing we do and what we don't do, right? The God-honoring thing might look like not doing something, you know? Even if the whole crowd goes left, maybe the God-honoring thing is to not follow the crowd. And so I really like the definition of God-honoring. I love what Ephesians 5:10 says. It says, find out what pleases the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That there's the people of integrity seek to honor God every day, no matter what it looks like. And I think that's awesome. And so a question I have for us, you know, honestly, is one of these, I guess, questions of how do you know? You know, I mean, am I someone of integrity? I think it can be hard to self-diagnose. Like we talked about, it can be very difficult at times to self-see where we are. And so one of the questions I ask myself a lot is, does my character change based on the group of people I'm with? I mean, when I'm with these friends, do I change who I am? How about achievements? Do I pursue these different, you know, the success, moving up in the ladder? Do I pursue these other worldly things more than thinking, okay, God, what would make you happy? You know, and then maybe the biggest question, this is really our AQ question, guys, for today is, what are you guided by? Because according to Proverbs 11, verse 3, you know, the integrity of the righteous, the godly, the pure of heart, the integrity of the righteous, it guides them.
And it guides them like a shepherd guiding its sheep, right? In other words, we are going, but what is helping direct how we're going. What's kind of shepherding us? You know, are we letting integrity, uprightness, righteousness guide our life? And that's something that we can consciously choose.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, we can be guided by, again, friends, achievements, social status, relationships, you know, even vices, right? It can be even bad things. Obviously, if you're guided by sin, that's not right. But integrity will guide you. Following Jesus, pursuing to honor him, guides a person. And so, yeah, application question, what guides you? Because we are all guided by something. And there are consequences. There are real life consequences. Mm-hmm. You could either be destroyed by your foolishness or you could be guided by integrity. And I like how it's interesting, you know, the contrast, someone of integrity, right, is guided by them. But the contrast to not be someone of integrity, you're destroyed, which is interesting that integrity doesn't say, you know, when you're guided by integrity, you'll prosper. When you're guided by integrity, you'll have all these things. You won't never get hurt. It doesn't say there won't be. It
says when you're guided by integrity, you will be upright.
Yes.
Blameless.
Yes. You will honor God. And that's the win, right? So yeah, we're going to dive into this concept of integrity. And I'm excited for next week's podcast. Don't miss it. It really sets the stage in terms of the people we'll look at in this series, what it looks like to be someone of integrity. And not just what it looks like, but sometimes people don't know what they want until they've seen it. And sometimes the definition of integrity is best seen in people, not just, you know, good ideas or even our ideas. So we're going to dive into that next week. But yeah, what guides you? So, you know, I'm so grateful you guys are here. You know, Pumbaa, any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I have lots of thoughts, sure. But we'll be sharing those in the next podcast. Yeah. I don't want to get too ahead of the game.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. If you have any questions or comments, please always feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys and just appreciate you guys' support. Yeah, so guys, tune in next week, Fridays at 10:10, and we'll see you there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.